Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So, back in 2018, in Manchester, England, a man awoke to the startling discovery that someone had let the air out of his tires, and there was a note on his car that said, "Pay your bills." Well, this was confusing, considering he didn't owe any money on any bills. But a few days later, his brake lines were cut. He discovered that, thankfully, before he started driving. And spray painted on his house were the words, "Pay your bills, Donna." Well, considering this man wasn't Donna, nor was his wife Donna, this was clearly the case of mistaken identity. So we're in a series right now titled Walk the Walk. And as we're going through this series, we're simply walking through the book of James. And as we look at the book of James, it is a reminder to us that we are to live out what we say we believe. We are to live out our faith so that others, as others look at our lives, they would not mistake our identity. Understand, as believers, our lives should reflect our new identity in Christ. Let me say that again. Our lives, as believers, should reflect our new identity in Christ. James began this letter by identifying himself, not by worldly standards, but by who he was in Christ. And so this letter is a reminder for believers that not only are we to find our identity in Christ, but our identity in Christ should impact our lives every single day. We've seen this so far as it has to do with trials and temptations that we face in this life. We've seen it when it comes to not just hearing the word, but being obedient to the word, doing what God's word says. We've seen it when it comes to not showing favoritism within our church. And last week, we saw how this applied to the type of faith that we have, whether we have a dead faith or a living faith. As believers, our lives should reflect our new identity in Christ. And as we look at our passage today, we're going to see how not only should our lives reflect our new identity in Christ, but so should our speech. Our speech should reflect our new identity in Christ. Now, we've been saying throughout this series that we don't want to just talk the talk, but certainly our talk should still be impacted. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12 today. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now, as you're turning there, let me say this. James is going to be talking about controlling the tongue. But as we think about our world today, we understand that in our world today, there are many different avenues for our voice to be heard. And many times we communicate through nonverbal means, through texting, through emails, and through social media. And so it's important that as we read our passage that we understand what James is saying, what he's teaching about the tongue to encompass all of these avenues of speech so that we might allow for God to invade and address this issue of our speech, this issue of our words in every outlet of our life. So with that in mind, let's read James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12 right now. Says, "Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue is a fire, The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. Now, as we look at this passage today, I want to begin by highlighting those words that we see James start out this passage with. James begins verse 1 by saying, "Not many should become teachers." And James is specifically referencing spiritual teachers that we see Paul reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 when discussing the spiritual gifts that are at work within the church. So when James says not many should become teachers, he is specifically saying not everyone is called to be a spiritual teacher. And so understanding that James's statement comes from a place of calling, it's a good reminder for us that it's okay for us not all to have the same calling. You see, the reason why James is saying this is because at that time, there were people that saw the respect that were given to spiritual teachers, and so they clamored for that position. It's not that they were called to be teachers, but they wanted to be a teacher simply so that they could be seen by others and get the respect that these teachers were receiving themselves. And so James is pointing out, not everyone is called to be a spiritual teacher. And I think that's a good reminder for us. It's okay for us not to all be called to do the same thing. You may not be called to the same thing that I'm called to do. But what we see in 1 Corinthians, what Paul is saying is that we're all parts of the body. And we come together to function together the way God has called us to as a church. But I think that we can apply this in a little more general and practical sense as well by saying this: we need to know when to speak up and when to keep our mouth shut. We need to know when to speak up and when to keep our mouth shut. In our world today, right, we all want to be heard. We all want to be an influencer. We all want to have a voice, to have our words known, and I get it. I get it. It's okay to be heard. It's okay to have a voice, and sometimes what we have to say needs to be heard. But I would say many times, and maybe more often than not, what we have to say doesn't need to be heard. Our opinion doesn't need to be heard. So we need to know when to speak up and when to keep our mouth shut, because here's the bottom line: words matter. Words matter. Words can be used for great things, but they can also be used as a weapon. Words matter. So it was March 7th, 1839, and it was opening night for the play Richelieu, or The Conspiracy, written by the English author Edward Bulwer Lytton. Those in attendance heard these words: "True this, beneath the rule of men entirely great, the pen is mightier than the sword. Behold, the arch-enchanter's wand itself is nothing but taking sorcery from the master hand to paralyze the Caesars and to strike the loud earth breathless. Take away the sword, states can be saved without it." It was in this play that Edward Bulwer Lytton coined that now well-known phrase, "The pen is mightier than the sword." However, there's an earlier rendition of this phrase that dates all the way back to a Greek playwright who died in 406 BC. He said these words: "The tongue is mightier than the blade." I think I might like the sound of that a little bit better. The tongue is mightier than the blade. While worded differently, the heart behind these two statements are the same. That our tongue, while it may be small, it is a powerful tool, and perhaps at times the most powerful weapon that we have. Words matter. And because our words matter, we should take our words seriously. We should take our tongue seriously. So as we walk through this passage now, we're going to look at four different truths about the power of our tongue today. But then we're going to see how we can truly control our tongue. So the first thing that I want you to see is that the tongue has the power to direct. The tongue has the power to direct. Let's look at verses 3 and 4 again. It says, "Now if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs." The tongue has the power to direct. And more specifically, James likens this small tool of ours, the tongue, to have the power to direct our entire bodies. But how can our tongue direct our entire bodies? So let me rephrase this to say it like this. Our words have the power to direct our daily steps. Our words have the power to direct our daily steps. Think about what happens when we complain. When we choose to focus our words on all of the negative things in this life, and we just complain about everything. If we complain about other people all the time, it's going to impact our relationships with other people. Chances are we're not going to have very good relationships with other people. If we constantly complain about our jobs, it's going to impact the type of employee that we are. We may look for another job. We may be forced to look for another job. If we're constantly complaining about our spouse, it's likely going to impact our marriage, the relationship that we have with our spouse. It's going to impact how we treat our spouse. Our words have the power to direct our daily steps. Here's what I've observed. People who complain all the time in every situation of their life, they tend to live their life with great discontentment, and they just move from one thing to the next. So I worked with a man when I was in the business world. He was in his 60s. He had spent his entire career just moving from one job to the next. He said that he lived his life by one word, next. Anytime he got unhappy, anytime he was discontent in that job, he just quickly moved on to the next job. That one word directed the steps of his life. Our words have the power to direct our daily steps. But now let's think about what happens not when we complain about everything, but when we choose to count our blessings. In other words, when we begin to focus and talk about the positive aspect of things, when we look for those positive things in life, if we focus our attention on the attention of our words on counting the blessings of other people in our life, It's going to impact those relationships that we have. We're probably going to have better relationships with other people. If we count the blessings that we see in our job, we're probably going to be a better employee. We may even get a promotion or two. If we count the blessings of our spouse, we're probably going to treat our spouse better, and we're going to work harder to foster a good relationship with our spouse, and we're likely going to have a long-lasting marriage. Our words have the power to direct our daily steps. And James uses this illustration of a bridle directing the entire horse. But he also uses the illustration of a ship and its rudder. So did you know that phrase, by and large, which means in general or on the whole, it's actually a nautical term. A ship sailing against the wind is said to be sailing by the wind, and a ship sailing with the wind is said to be sailing large. And by the 1600s, it was said that a ship that was able to sail regardless of the direction of the wind, that ship was able to sail both by and large. In other words, this small tool, the rudder, is powerful enough to direct the ship regardless of the circumstances on the sea. And so our tongue, while small, if used positively, it has the power to direct us both by and large, regardless of the direction the winds of our circumstances might be blowing. So let me just pause and ask, how is your tongue directing you today? How is your tongue directing you today? How are your words and your speech directing your daily steps in your life? Are you complaining about life circumstances, or are you counting your blessings? And let me encourage you, just as James is encouraging us to do in our passage, control your tongue. Just as a ship captain controls the rudder, just as the person riding the horse controls the bridle, control your tongue that your daily steps might be controlled as well. So the tongue has the power to direct. Second, the tongue has the power to destroy. Let's look at verses 5 and 6 again. It says, "So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." So the tongue has the power to direct, which has the power to do good things, but it also has the potential to set ablaze and destroy like the flames of a ferocious forest fire. You know, our country has become very familiar with forest fires in recent years. Acres of land, buildings, homes, all being destroyed by these fires. And in times of extreme heat, in times of drought, we have what we call burn bans. And during these times, starting any type of fire is off limits because we understand that even the smallest spark can ignite a ferocious and destructive flame. So, church, I want you to understand this truth today. Even the smallest negative word can cause a world of destruction. Let me say that again. Even the smallest negative word can cause a world of destruction. Now, here's the temptation when it comes to our words. Many times we want to fight fire with fire. That person said something awful to me and burned me, so I want to say something awful back to them and burn them. We want to fight fire with fire. Now, in actuality, that phrase, fight fire with fire, is a technique used to extinguish a fire in an area. But the reality is, when it comes to our words, fighting fire with fire never extinguishes the flame. It only causes the fire to burn fiercer and to become more destructive. And so I would propose to you, the next time someone says something awful to you that burns you, instead of fighting fire with fire, put in place a burn ban. Resolve to keep your mouth shut and to keep your words to yourself. Put in place a burn ban. Where I see this most practically applied is in the world of social media, on Facebook and Twitter. People can easily use their words to burn each other. And I've never seen a fiery argument put out by fighting fire with fire. I've never seen a resolution to an argument by fighting fire with fire, but I have seen arguments dissipate when one person chooses to enact maturity and control and to keep their words to themselves. So when it comes to our words, we don't need to fight fire with fire. We need to enact a burn ban. So the tongue has the power to direct. The tongue has the power to destroy. The third thing that I want you to see is that the tongue has the power to exalt. Let's look at verses 9 and 10 again. It says, "With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way." The tongue has the power to exalt. Now, in these verses, James clearly indicates that our tongue has the power to do two very different things, to bless and to curse. And we're going to talk more about its power to curse in just a moment, but I do want to spend just a minute talking about our tongue's power to bless, to worship, or to exalt. With the tongue, we have the most amazing abilities. We're able to sing songs. We're able to recite poetry. We can even say the words Happy Mother's Day on a day like today. You know, some mothers, they give birth to children. Other mothers give birth to legends. I'll let you decide which one my mom gave birth to. But we can use our tongue to say Happy Mother's Day. We can use our tongue to say those three important words, I love you, something that you should also say to your moms today. But the greatest and most awesome power that we have with our tongue is to worship, to bless, and to exalt our Lord. And understand, this is more than simply a gift that we have. For the believer, worship is our calling. Understand that. For the believer, worship is our calling. I'm reminded of Jesus' triumphal entry in Luke chapter 19. As the disciples are exalting the Lord, as Jesus is entering in, they exalt the Lord, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. As they're doing this, the Pharisees basically say to Jesus, get your disciples under control. But Jesus responds to them by saying, I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out. And so I would ask you today, as we think about worshiping the Lord, do you need stones to cry out to the Lord on your behalf? Or are you like the disciples at his triumphal entry? Are you unable to keep silent? And let me encourage you, don't keep silent. Don't keep that praise and worship to yourself. Don't let there be any shame or hindrance when it comes to worshiping the Lord, because for the believer, worship is our calling. But you know, as we look at this passage, it would seem that exalting the Lord or worshiping the Lord isn't really the issue with the believers that James is writing to here. It would seem that they're doing okay with worshiping the Lord with their tongue. But while they're worshiping the Lord with their tongue, they're also cursing others. And so that brings us to our final point this morning, that the tongue has the power to execrate. Now, execrate, that's not a word that we hear every day. But understand, in a sermon on controlling the tongue, I have chosen my words very carefully and intentionally. The word execrate means to declare something as evil or detestable. It comes from the Latin word execrare, meaning to put under a curse. It's also a part of the same Latin word family as the word satyr, which is where we get our English word sacred. And to declare something as sacred is to declare it as holy. And so by using this word execrate, one, I hope that it's going to get stuck in your head. Execrate, execrate, execrate. But I also hope that you will understand the weight of the contrast that James is giving here when he says, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. With our tongues we declare God as sacred or holy, but all too often we are quick to declare other people as evil or detestable, and with our tongues we curse them. And James ends verse 10 by saying, my brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Listen, if we love God, then our response to those who have been made in His image should be a response of love as well. But what if they hurt us? We are to love them. What if they disagree with us? We're to love them. What if they're wrong? We are to love them. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't stand on the truth of God's word. It doesn't mean that we don't address sin. Certainly, as believers, we have been called to do those things. But as we stand on God's word, as we address sin, we are to do so in love. So let me just give you a simple exercise for us to put into practice. Before we open our mouths, before we put our fingers to the keyboard, take a moment and simply remind yourself that the person that you're about to address is an image bearer of the God you worship. The person you're about to address is an image bearer of the God you worship. So let me just bring you back to that simple phrase that I said early on. Words matter. And what we do with this small, powerful tool, our tongue, matters, has the power to direct, it has the power to destroy, it has the power to exalt, and it has the power to execrate. But now let me bring you to verses 7 and 8. It says, every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Understand, as James teaches about controlling our tongue, he's telling us that it's not something that can be done on our own. It's humanly impossible. Because it's not just that our tongues need to be tamed, it's that our lives need to be transformed. And that's exactly why Jesus came into this world. Because apart from Jesus, we are unable to save ourselves. In our own strength, we are unable to control ourselves. In our own strength, we are unable to transform ourselves. But if we will turn from our pride, and if we will turn to Jesus and cry out to him, asking him to be our Lord, his promise to us is that he will save us, he will forgive us, and not only that, he will transform us. It's not just that our tongues need to be tamed, it's that our lives need to be transformed. And it's only when our lives are transformed that we are able to not just talk the talk, but we're able to walk the walk. Now, before you can walk the walk, first you have to begin the walk. And in order to begin the walk, it begins by submitting to Jesus as your Lord. And so if you've never done that, then I want to give you the four most powerful words that you can ever use your tongue to say. Jesus, you are Lord. And if you've never declared Jesus as your Lord, but today you're ready to do that, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond this morning to whatever it is that God's doing in your life. And if you're here and you would say, today I need to declare Jesus as Lord, I need to submit my heart and my life to him, that he would forgive me, that he would save me, that he would transform me. Today, if you're ready to do that, then as we sing this song, I would invite you to come. I'm going to be standing right down front. Come join me. Let's talk. Let's pray. You can make that decision today. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ, but as I look at my life, honestly, I have not been walking the walk. But today, I need to recommit my life to Christ. Today, I need to make that commitment to walk the walk, to walk obediently to what God has called me to do. You can take that step as well today. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you this morning. Now, maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never taken that next step of baptism by immersion. If that's something that God is calling you to do, then I would invite you to respond as well. We don't believe that baptism saves us, but we do believe that it's something God has called us to do as an act of obedience. And so if you need to take that step of obedience, as we sing this song, respond. We can make that commitment together today. Now maybe you're here and you would say, I've given my life to Christ. I've taken that step of baptism by immersion already. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale. I know God's calling me to make this my church home, to join this church body in our mission and what God is calling us to do as we walk the walk together. If that's you, then I would invite you to come as well. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.